This is a download from the BBC. To download other programmes or for more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.
Hello, this is Richard Bacon. Now, don't worry, this is Mark Kermode and Simon Mayo's Film Reviews podcast. You haven't downloaded the Daily Bacon, although you really should. It's excellent. I'm standing in for Simon and Mark, and earlier today I spoke to Anil Kapoor, who's probably best known in this country as the game show host from Slumdog Millionaire. And he's currently starring opposite Jack Bauer in season 8 of 24. Here he is in action as President Hassan of the made-up Islamic Republic of Khamistan.
One of the suspects has family connections to a member of my delegation here at the UN.
Who?
Jamot. They're cousins.
That doesn't mean that Jamot is involved in any of this.
We need to make sure.
We'll check his phone records and other recent activities for any suspicious behavior.
Good. But I also want him taken into custody.
Sir?
Arrest him. Take him to our embassy for interrogation.
Mr. President, with respect, Jamot is a trusted member of your inner circle. The evidence against him is purely circumstantial.
I trusted my brother as well.
Are you sure this is what you want? He is a public official that will not go unnoticed.
Don't care! I don't care what anyone thinks. I was almost killed today. Or have you forgotten?
I was in the car with you, sir.
Then you should know what needs to be done.
It's kind of as good as ever, 24, isn't it, Boyd?
I think that episode, which I think is the one that went out last Sunday, I thought it dipped a little bit before that, but that episode was fantastic.
So Anil Kapoor there as President Omar Hassan in the latest series of 24. He's over here at the moment because this weekend he'll be presenting a BAFTA. Boyd and I spoke to him a little earlier. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, yeah.
And Boyd, say hi.
Good afternoon, Anil.
Good afternoon.
Very pleased to meet you.
Yeah, same here. This is really quite exciting.
It is.
Both Boyd and I are enjoying season 8 of 24. So to have President Hassan in front of us is really quite a thing, isn't it?
It is very exciting. Quite a little bit scary. He's gone a little bit scary. He started out so nice, and now it's all going wrong.
Oh. Well, I think your character is a noble character.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
Do you all find noble people boring? Do you find them boring or do you find them exciting?
No, but normally in 24, those are all authority figures are bad and dark and devious, with the exception of the first president
from
the first two seasons and yourself.
But this is something more special, I assure you, I promise you. And it is definitely, yes, the president is noble, charismatic, but still the way it will unfold is you must have seen that. I think you're watching the 7th or the 8th episode over here.
I think we've just seen the 6th, I think. It's the one where he's just gone a little bit far. He started to arrest people left, right and centre. Human rights abuses, all going on back home, and he seemingly doesn't care. So, yes, the nobility is a little bit flying out of the window, I have to say.
That's what made this my role exciting, and I enjoyed doing it, is because it's very human, it's real, it's got its gray shades, it's got its weaknesses, plus points, and so it was fun doing it.
Mm. It turned out in the very first episode that I think you'd been having an affair. The fictional character of President Hassan.
As I said, he's normal.
there is that.
Yeah, he's noble, but still normal.
Certainly, yeah, normal in the upper echelons of politics. But a lot to talk to you about. Of course, we'll talk about Slumdog Millionaire and your extensive film career in India. But let's just focus on 24 for a moment, because Boyd and I find it exciting.
Really?
We really do. You're still filming it, aren't you? It's not finished yet.
No, not yet.
I don't know why I assumed it would all be in the can.
Well, I think in Britain, when you make a show in Britain, because they're usually 6 or 8 episodes, and they do film the whole thing, and then a few months later it goes out on TV. But in America, because you have 24 episodes.
Yeah, 24 episodes, and obviously we have quite a few episodes scanned, but we're still filming.
Yeah. Do you think is it still being written even? Do you think they've even
written
it?
That's the exciting part, and they have the story ready, but obviously it's written. two episodes are written in advance, and then they keep on writing. So when I speak to the writers, I say, what do you think is going to be the next episode? Where is this, my character's arc going? So I ask them. They tell me even we don't know where it's going. Even the writers don't know. That's what makes it exciting.
It does make it exciting. I remember when I first found that out about 24, because I've watched it from the first season, that the writers don't know where it will end up. Mm-hmm. And at first, that slightly disappointed me.
Well, I remember in the first series, where they didn't even know whether they were going to complete the series, because it hadn't actually been fully commissioned for the whole run.
Absolutely.
So they filmed half a series. Then there was a big break. And whether they were waiting to see whether it was going to be a hit or not. And they literally had no idea how the series was going to progress. And then they suddenly had to come up with how they were going to sort it all out for the rest of the run.
Boy, they're so extremely talented.
Yeah.
Extremely
talented. I mean, the writing is
absolutely phenomenal. And I feel that's what... Because I think they know exactly what they're doing. They might say it's a joke that, we don't know what's going to happen. But actually, internally... And they've got everything in their mind.
And for us watching, it does... I mean, I think for British viewers watching this show, almost more than any other, it's like every episode is like a film, isn't it? It's like a taut, brilliantly done thriller.
Absolutely.
In its own right. And does it feel like that as the actor, that every episode you're doing is kind of like...
Yeah, because I've never done television in my career. I've been working since the last 30 years now. I've done big films, blockbuster films, huge, big-budget films. Then I did Slumdog Millionaire, which was my first English film. But when I was shooting with 24, I actually felt I'm shooting for a film, because there were about 400 to 500 people on the sets, the logistics, the infrastructure, the people, the cameras. We're shooting on film, Panavision, two cameras. So it's the scale is really big.
How many people did you say work on the program?
Between 300 to 400 people. Working on one episode.
That's astonishing, isn't it? Don't get that on Holby City.
No, you don't get that on Holby City. I was reading that the per episode budget is between $3.5 and $4 million.
It's about between $4 and $4.5 million.
Every single episode.
Yeah.
That's the cost of a small independent film per episode.
You see Recession, so I think that's the reason. It's just gone up.
But it's there on the it is there on the screen, though, I think. You can see it.
Yeah, you can.
It's so ambitious. You've got, four or five storylines running, at least three of which are having high excitement, thriller action going on, car chases, explosions, all of that. It's all there.
I have acted in it, but still I also am, I look forward to when the script comes. Yeah. Different drafts keep on coming and I get so excited that I wait for the scripts and what's going to happen next. After reading scripts, after performing, and then again, as a viewer, I'm an actor, but still I've done so many films, but I've never been so, eager, curious, anxious to see the next episode. I'm just waiting for the, next episode to come.
Is it an exciting show to make?
Yes, it is.
Because I tend to associate drama with a lot of sitting around in the day doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And I would guess that it's not really like that on 24.
No, absolutely. We sometimes start by 6 in the morning and we shoot till 10:30. And, when they tell you to come at 9, then your shot is taken by 9:30, 10 o'clock. They're so... It's a very well-oiled machinery. And everyone I met in L.A., when I was shooting in L.A., I met stars, big stars, feature movie stars, and they all, they also look up to 24.
How do you find Kiefer Sutherland?
How do I find him?
Yeah, I read a quote where you said he still treats 24 like it's the first one he's made.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was really taken aback. Matter of fact, working in films and doing different characters, and that was the way I dreamt that I will be, that I'll there are a few films which I've done which have become huge blockbusters. So, the tendency is to keep on repeating yourself because you feel, okay, I'm going to get bored. Very difficult for me to do the same thing again and again. But, I find that whenever he comes on the set, as if I really felt that he just started as his first day of his shoot. And, completely, and he is helpful to everyone. All the actors, technicians, everybody. He's completely as if he breathes and he, every moment of shooting for 24.
And he's the exec producer as well, isn't he? He's pulled off that neat trick of looking slightly younger with every passing series. Mm. It's now 8 years old, isn't it?
Yeah. I wonder if it's because of the HD factor, isn't it? Because I watch it in HD.
No.
It's
not the HD factor.
Okay.
I promise you. It's pure film.
Okay.
There's
a live edition of EastEnders tonight. Imagine a live edition of 24.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I'd be amazed. Unless you could do a two-hander or something, couldn't you? I suppose you could. You know, you could have Jack Bauer and another character in a torture room or something.
You
that could go
yeah,
for 45
yeah,
minutes in real time. That would be. They could do that live. I suppose
they would pull it off, and they would pull it off with the stunts as well.
Yeah.
One of the things I enjoy about 24 and also find frustrating is you do watch the program and find yourself going, no, hang on a minute. You know, you didn't need to do that, or why hasn't his phone run out of power, or whatever it may be. Remember the first episode where there's an attempt on President Assange's life, and it's so elaborate the way that this chap goes about trying to kill you. He gets a job in the police. He then kills another policeman so he can get that policeman's shift. He's got an insider. He orchestrates a bomb scare at the UN. And at the end of the episode, all he's done is put a bomb under a grate in the road, which he could have... Your motorcade would have gone over that anyway. He didn't need any of that background.
No, but still, you know, that's 24.
Exactly.
Yeah. He was covering his tracks. He was covering it. I'm sure, you know, there must be... He's doing everything in his power to stop the CTU from, you know, finding out what was going on. Yeah, it's all makes sense.
But you see, every moment, whatever they do, you might feel sometimes it's far, you know, it's far-fetched, yeah. It's illogical. But the way they do it, they make it look so real.
And I think
that's what makes it exciting.
I mean, I think, I'm not just saying this because you're here, but I do think your character is kind of the most interesting element of it so far from what we've seen this season. Just because
you're the best thing in it, what we're trying to say.
Your character, certainly. You mean it,
or you're just trying to make me feel...
No, we absolutely mean it. We were saying it this morning when we met.
Thank you.
Because there's all kinds of interesting political, philosophical things going on with, and there always are those layers on 24, but it's all focused on your character, I think, this time around.
Absolutely, and you know, people have been really wonderful. You know, the reaction has been tremendous for my work. You know, from Kiefer to the directors to the writers, they've been wonderful, and they've had to say such kind words, and they said that you know they never really expected this character to really develop. Mm-hmm. And come to life the way it has.
Okay, well, we'll take a little break here, and then we need to come back and talk to you about Slumdog Millionaire and the rest of your very large canon of work. But what episode number are they up to in 24 at the moment? When you go back to film, what episode is that?
I think we'll be shooting for the 16th, yeah.
16th, okay. Yeah. At least we know that he makes it over halfway through the series.
That's a spoiler.
It is in some ways.
Yes.
Do you get to shoot or torture anyone? Because there's really not much point in being in 24 if you don't get to torture anyone.
Well, I think I do both.
Okay. Oh. I'm very pleased for you. Richard Bacon here on 5 Live, chatting to Anil Kapoor. Boyd Hilton is with me. Anil, as we've discussed at length, is in the current series of 24, is the best thing in it. Let's repeat that point.
Yeah. We've established that.
I think we have.
Jack Bauer is fine, but no. President Hassan, he is where it's happening, I think.
Let's talk about Slumdog Millionaire. 24 is only the second Western role that you've done, isn't it?
Yeah, it is my second, yeah.
Tell us a bit about the impact that Slumdog Millionaire has had on your career, on your life.
Actually, let me begin. I moved on from Slumdog Millionaire, but obviously, you know... I have to speak about it because it has changed my life. Like today, I'm sitting in front of you all and giving this interview. I'm sure otherwise I wouldn't be invited over here to BBC if it was not because of Slumdog Millionaire. In a way,
we'd have got you in for 24.
We would,
but I guess the 24 role. Do you think the 24 role came about because of Slumdog Millionaire?
Absolutely, and Slumdog Millionaire obviously has given me an exposure which I could never really, you know, it's once in a lifetime. Thing which happens to everybody whoever is connected with Slumdog Millionaire, from the producer to the director to the writer to all the actors. I think it's a once in a lifetime phenomenon. It's critically, commercially, it's a monstrous success. It's won, swept all awards, so people love the film, and I thought within 6-8 months people are going to forget about the film, but people still remember it.
I heard that you almost turned down the role.
Well, yes, I have said this on the radio last year also. Yes, I didn't know who Danny Boyle was. I'm being very honest, you know, and it is not because, you know, I was very aware of the kind of films he had done. I was aware of the films, but, you know, sometimes you forget who has directed the film. I'm being very honest with you because living in India. And it's my son who's a huge admirer of, Danny Boyle, and youngsters and teenagers and all, you know, they just, you know, and especially my son. So He's the one who really encouraged me and told me and, you know, educated me about Danny Boyle. And has and when I came to know that he's the one who's directed Trainspotting and Beach and all, that's the reason. And the way he reacted to me, that's the time I knew what a blunder I was doing, that not really responding to the calls and the messages I was getting for me to do the film.
Yeah, you've made over 100 films in India. You have your own film production company in India. But how did Danny Boyle discover you? Where did he see you?
I think it's the casting director, Lavleen Tundon, who suggested my name to him. And obviously then he saw my work. He had seen a few films. Then he saw my work in a few films and he felt that I was the right person to do this role. And I just got it without even auditioning for the film.
When you read the script, did you know straight away that it was really good? Was it obvious on the page?
You see, we actors are slightly, you know, I'm sure all the actors, you know, before you read the whole script, first you see what your role is. So I went through the script, I said, how many lines am I speaking? You know, I said, okay, no, I have got quite a few scenes. Okay, great, okay. And it's something which I've never done. Okay, fine, I've never played a host. I've never played an anchor. So, you know, everything was, and I just kept on. And every time I read every scene, I felt, God, I've never done something like this. It's great. It's, you know, it's got all these kind of layers, and I've never done that. I played a leading man all my life, played positive roles, played the hero, and this was some kind of an anti-hero, but still charismatic. It's something. It's a lot of fun. So I said, I must do it. And then I went to Danny Boyle. I said, listen, more than me, it's my son who wants me to do this film, so I want to do this film. I don't know if you want me or not. And I think that's the time he decided that he had already made up his mind that I was there in the film.
Do you think Danny Boyle creates or reflects on screen an authentic India? Is that a real representation of Mumbai and of the slums?
You see, Danny, if you see all his films, obviously he, especially the films where, you know, he is a kind of director. Obviously, he doesn't do anything which is, he makes, you know, films which are his, has got a Danny Boyle stamp, but they're very real. So whatever you see, when you see Mumbai, there's nothing which is, it's very candid, it's very, you know, it's natural, it's real. So whatever you see is the part which you see is real, absolutely. And obviously there are other parts of the country which have not been used, which are not been shot in Slumdog Millionaire, but most of the thing, whatever you see is real, absolutely. Hmm.
Yeah. I think maybe a lot of people didn't know, a lot of people over here didn't know that Who Wants to Be a Millionaire played in India as a game show, let alone how big
and
a deal it is. It's a huge show there.
And also
it?
I think a lot of people watching the film, thought maybe even that he'd cast the real host. You were so convincing that it was, you just seemed like, oh yeah, that would be the kind of person who would host.
As a matter of fact, a lot of people asked me, I said, are you the host in India? Do you host Who Wants to Win? And I said, no, I have got numerous offers to host a show and to be on television, on reality shows and these kind of quiz shows. But I was a movie star, so I never wanted to be on television. I never did it. And so they really thought I was and that was the best compliment I could get.
What a tremendously exciting time all of you associated with the film had in the months after its release. I know that you went to the Oscars last year, and this Sunday you're presenting a BAFTA.
Yes.
Which one are you presenting?
Costume.
Okay. Have you worked out? Are you going to try a gag? This is obviously a big decision you have to make when you present an award. Are you going to attempt a joke, or are you just going to go with the script that
depends,
they give you?
Depends. You know, as an actor, you don't, you know, till the moment you really go and do something, you never know what you're going to do exactly. You know, it's all your state of mind, you know, the atmosphere and what you feel at that moment. And always expect the predictable or the unpredictable from actors.
How did the BAFTAs compare to the Oscars?
That's a good question, yeah. To be honest with you, I came here last year. That was the first BAFTAs I really attended, and I was really impressed.
Yeah.
I was really impressed. I was so pleased, and I was proud to be an actor, proud to be part of that event, proud that, you know, there is something like this in England, and it was wonderful. The way people spoke on stage, the writing was terrific. Everybody was dressed up very well, and it was great. It was It was a world which, you know, every actor in the world dreams to be in. You know, that's the ultimate, that's a climax of, yeah. If you worked hard, it's, you know, you go there, and so it was wonderful. Mm. And then I went for the Oscars, and obviously, you know, that was also, you know, but it was completely different, BAFTAs and, you know, Oscar. There is something which is, you cannot, there is, it's original, you know, it's not a copy. You don't know, nobody's copying each other. BAFTAs are original. And you can't compare both the awards. They are special in their own way, yeah. I feel.
It was your son that talked you into taking the role in Slumdog Millionaire. What does your son think of 24 and President Hassan?
I don't know. He's studying in L.A. now. And obviously, you know...
Is he an actor?
He's planning to be an actor and a writer and a director too. And obviously, he loves 24. And again, obviously, he said that... I said, you can't say, you have to do it. I said, television? You think I should go on television? I've never been on television. I said, Dad, in America, television is big. It's huge.
Well, that's true. Know, television
it's
huge. Is
it's not like, yeah. You know, anywhere in the world. It's yeah. In television as big or bigger than films, you know. It's
well, certainly in terms of quality, the best
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, quality.
Really?
Great writing. Being done on TV. And, you know, the kind of you know experience and exposure. Yeah. And he was right, again. I think I should make him my agent.
I read that you said somewhere that actually the story of Jamal in Slumdog Millionaire does to some extent mirror your own life.
Yes. Matter of fact, I did speak to Danny about this. I said, Danny, that's been my life. And to a certain extent, you know, in a way I can identify with Prem, that was the character I'm playing. That's the way, you know, I have gone through it in my career. I started my career from scratch, became a big star. I had a few failures, and then I came back again. I became give more successes, and I was like Jamal. I started from, you know, from a small slum. I used to stay there. I was born there. And from there, I rose to be an actor, and then I became a star. So in a way, I could identify with Jamal as well as I could identify with, and whatever, you know, I'm not a very educated person in a way. I've studied, but I'm not really, academically, you can't say that I'm really, whatever, if I'm speaking to you, whatever the knowledge I have is through my experience, through meeting people. Like today, if I'm sitting in front of both of you, I have learned something, some words, some vocabulary, you know, and my English, everything. It's not, I have self-learned. So that's what the film is also, in a way. Jamal, whatever he does, he answers, is not academic. It's the experience. And what happens in his life.
Yeah. And in fact, I think your character in Slumdog Millionaire also identifies with Jamal, but wants to kick away the ladder.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's what everybody wants to do, you know, in a way. That's what, and, you know, it's how you spiritually and how you become and how you see life. And there are certain, but I'm sure these thoughts do come.
Yeah.
Of, you know, if there's someone who wants to be, you know, you're established, you become the biggest star, and there's some young guy who wants to, comes to, you know, take over your position. You don't do that in real life because somewhere better sense prevails, but definitely these kind of thoughts do come to your mind.
Well, it's great to meet you. What a marvelous performance in Slumdog Millionaire. The way that you say in the film, let's play Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, has become almost iconic, hasn't it?
And that's the scene where you go into the men's room with that. That's the crucial scene in the whole film, which is an absolute classic moment.
And you are the best thing in 24 as the as the president. So there's something amusing about the fictional countries. The West Wing used to do this as well, isn't it? You're the president of the Islamic...
Khamistan.
Khamistan? I've never heard that bit. I thought it was just the Islamic Republic.
Islamic Republic of Khamistan.
Well, listen, thank you for coming in. Great to see
you. Richard, it was wonderful.
And 24 is on Sky One every Sunday night. And we know that President Hassan makes it at least halfway through the series.
And he has a gun at some point.
Yes, and tortures people.
Yeah. No, half, more than half.
Okay, great.
Or I might be there throughout.
Let's hope so.
Let's hope so.
And good luck on Sunday at the BAFTAs. Thanks, Anil.
Thanks. Thank you.
You have been listening to part one of Mark Kermode and Simon Mayo's film reviews. I'm Richard Bacon. Confusing, I know. That was Anil Kapoor. Now make sure you download part two of the film podcast to hear this week's review.
Thanks for downloading from the BBC. To find other downloads or more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.